comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on the planet. We're here because you have a right to know, and frankly, you matter. Now, tonight will be a real treat for those of you who have been anxious to know more about this TV show that I have been part of and am part of. My guests tonight will be Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas, both of them vital, integral parts of the show. Michael Lamport is half of the Lamport Shepherd Entertainment Company, responsible for such shows as Rescue Mediums, In Your Wildest Dreams, Curious and Unusual Deaths, and St. Roz. He's an actor and an award-winning producer and director. Robbie Thomas, as you know, is world-renowned as a psychic, famous for his work with solving seemingly unsolvable crimes. And they will join us in just a few minutes to talk about this new TV show with which the three of us are involved. Now, we would have Gregory Shepherd with us, the other side of Lamport and Shepherd. We would have him with us tonight, and we miss him, but he's out of the country, and so we will perhaps be able to get him at a later date to be with us. And he is also quite an award-winning director and producer. It's a great team, and they're going to be talking tonight about this show. I don't know how much they are going to share with you. I don't know, because it hasn't aired yet. I don't know how much detail they can share with you, but some of it. And you'll get to meet some of the folks involved here, and I think it'll be a good time. Don't forget, if you are not receiving the K-Files, that is because you are not subscribed. Sometimes I get email from people who say, well, I've been subscribed for several years, and you know, now I'm not getting it anymore. What happened? I'm subscribed, but I'm not getting it. Well, if there are problems with your email server, or if your email inbox gets full and our system tries to send you the K-Files and it bounces back, it'll try again later in that same cycle to send. If it bounces back, it'll try again. And if it bounces back the third time, it cancels the subscription, so we cannot be accused of spamming anybody, okay? So you may have to resubscribe if that's happened to you. But it's free. There's no reason for you not to be getting it. And there's no genius in not getting it, because look, it's free. It's full of great information having to do with the genre that we talk about here on the show. So if you like UFOs, paranormal, space exploration, strange and unexplained things, well, you'll love the K-Files. And like I said, it's free, so there's no reason not to. All right, we're going to step away for a break. When we come back, we'll have Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas with us.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said at the top of the show, my guests this evening, Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas. And let me begin by welcoming Robbie Thomas back to the show. It's been a while since he's been here. Robbie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And Michael Lamport, welcome for the first time to the Kevin Smith Show. We're glad to have you.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Kevin. We're very, very honored and flattered that that you'd have two Canadians sitting up here way north of you on the show. Thank you.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Me and the audience, we're very familiar with you because you've been a guest on this show many times. So I'm going to begin with Michael. And, Michael is part of a team. This team is called Lamport and Shepherd, or Lamport Shepherd Entertainment. And Gregory is not able to be with us, Gregory Shepherd, because he's out of the country. But I wanted to say something about you two guys before we get very deep into this. Folks, I don't know if you know how TV shows are made. But very often, the top guys, you know, the ones running the show, very often they're sort of desk jockeys. But not Lamport and Shepherd. Lamport and Shepherd, Michael Lamport and Gregory Shepherd. Man, these guys, they were out there in the hot sunshine with us. They were climbing up the hills with us. They were sweating with us. And so these guys, you know, are very involved in the production of the shows that they produce. Now, Michael, you've got how many shows out there right now?
Well, what we have right now is Rescue Mediums, which is a show that the catchline is basically psychics who make house calls. It's it follows two psychics as they go to houses and get rid of spirits. And we're in 28 countries around the world right now. And the other main show that we're shooting and doing right now is Curious and Unusual Deaths for Discovery, which is a show, basically what it sounds like. It's just about examining the science behind the way people, famous people have died. People like Rasputin, and all that sort of stuff. So, and as you mentioned too, Kevin, we have a dream show, which is in New Orleans Dreams, which is basically a one-off right now, and then we just finished shooting the movie, St. Roz. So we've got about four shows that we're embroiled in, and including, you know, hopefully this one.
I was reading about St. Roz, it really sounds like a hoot. It's a statue, a saint, and if you light a candle in front of this statue, it causes you to lose 1 pound of weight.
Yes. Now, I mean, this is our venture into the land of comedy, so I don't want any of your listeners to think that this statue really exists, because if it did, I'd be having it in my back pocket for sure. But yeah, basically, the statue shows up at a church, and if you light a candle, you lose a pound.
Wow.
And it sends the Catholic Church into chaos, and the weight loss industry into chaos. And so we have every religious group you can imagine converting to Catholicism, and the Catholic Church goes, hey, wait a minute, people should be coming to have their immortal souls saved, not to fit into a smaller dress size.
Oh,
so, yeah.
All right. Now,
that's not real. I wish you were.
Okay. Robbie, it's been a long time since you were with us, and you've been with us on a number of occasions. There are two cases that you've talked with us about here on this show that I think will be paramount in people's memory. The first case was the Baseline Killers in Phoenix, Arizona. And at that time, I was broadcasting from Phoenix, Arizona, and The police were having a terrible time trying to catch the baseline killer. And you came on the show and you told us it's not the baseline killer, it's the baseline killers. There are two involved. And you told us that the there was an older guy and a younger guy, and I forget all of the details you told us, but you gave us a lot of details. Oh, you told us the police have already interviewed these people and have dismissed them as suspects, but they're going to go back to them, and they will be making making an arrest soon. Within a few days of that show, the police indeed made an arrest, and it was exactly as you had told us. It was two guys, an older and a younger guy. They lived together. The police had talked to them previously, but then had dismissed them as suspects, went back again to these guys, and lo and behold, they were the perpetrators of the crimes. The other crime was the little boy that was kidnapped. I can't think of his name. Cantu?
Cano.
Cesar Cano. And you told us, you gave us great detail about that. You even provided some sketches that you had made, and we put those up on the screen. It's been a while since those cases. What have you been doing since?
Last year, I actually went on a tour throughout the United States and did approximately 9 homicides and working with different law enforcement agencies.
You did 9 homicides?
And you're 9 different homicides.
You did 9 homicides and you're still roaming free?
I did.
Let's rephrase that, shall we? You hit me up on that when we were in Kentucky already. Okay. No, assisted in them, and with the police, not on the wrong side, but on the right side.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, good. Yes, and, you know, it was pretty amazing from the different stature of the cases themselves, from U.S. Marshals down to local sheriff's offices, and, you know, giving the impressions of what took place, the notable information that turned into evidence, which actually we're shooting shows on. It's fantastic to see, without me giving away a lot of detail, how it all progressed. But there was a little girl in Ontario, Canada, and I worked with the father's side of the family right into the police station with the detectives, gave them information. And, you know, it's very difficult when you get all these impressions of wagon wheels and horse-drawn buggies. They're looking for a woman only, and you tell them, no, it's a man and a woman. And they tell you discreetly, no, it's only a woman. And you bark back at them and you say, no, it's a man and a woman. They're tied together, and you'll find her body's in a tree line alongside of a huge pile of rocks with, you know, wagon wheels and these wagon-drawn buggies being pulled by horses. And sure enough, her body was found in a tree line where there was a huge pile of rocks where the horse-drawn buggies would go for the Mennonite village. You know, it's those types of cases. And it was very ongoing throughout last year. So it's been a very tedious venture, I'd say, for the last year and a half, trying to cram in, you know, everybody, which you never say no. I never say no to nobody. So you try to help out as many families as you can. And here we are today and doing it on a master scale. Master, is that a word? A mass scale. And being able to oblige people's requests.
Okay, and that brings us to the TV show that the three of us have just been involved in shooting. And, Michael, I'll let you take the lead on this, because I don't know how much you want to tell. I know we need to tell some so people will know what it's about, but, I'll let you take the lead and, let's tell folks what we've been up to.
Well, it was, as we all know, it was fascinating.
We were down in Kentucky, and on a case of what we claim is double homicide, which is claimed to be two accidental drownings. And just for your listeners, you know, when you go into the area of psychic, in the psychic realm, a lot of people, I think, find it easy to dismiss somebody like Robbie's abilities because they just go, yeah, okay, well, that's what he's seeing. But when the accuracy of what he's seeing is so front and forward, you can't ignore it. So for a police group, I mean, as well, you know much better than I can, that in a way, even if it's not admissible directly in law, it is a signpost for the cops to say, well, wait a minute, you know, maybe this is true, so let's look at it. So what we've been trying to do here down there in Kentucky was we're almost, I'm not going to say it's simple, but we're almost just saying, you know what, let's reopen the case of these two people, because everything points, even the physical evidence, like the psychic evidence, true and there, but the physical evidence points to the fact that these two young people did not have an accidental drowning. And of course, I am not going to be the one now that says it proves that there was a cover-up or anything like that. But my goodness, when we were down there, cover-up is exactly the word that I would use, even as a layperson myself, looking at the evidence as we all did, looking at the photos, the horrible autopsy, the horrible photos of both of the subjects, and have people say, ah, there was no bruising on the body, there was nothing like this, and we're all looking at a photograph of this poor girl, this gorgeous girl, who is covered in bruises. Mm-hmm. And these are not bruises that were sustained after death, because I'm certain, as a lot of your listeners know, that, you know, once you pass away, it's pretty hard to bruise you because, you know, your blood ain't working anymore. So what we're trying to do is, as I say, open up the case. We want to turn this show, we want to create this show with Robbie as a psychic profiler, and help many people and solve, or be a catalyst to solving a crime, and even just to reopen a case that isn't what it seems. I think that's what we are trying to do. And in this one, no matter what happens, because as you said, Kevin, in TV land, you know, you pitch shows, you show them this, you show them that. But at the very least, in this case, because of what we all did down there, we've got a lot of stuff on tape. We've got a lot of stuff that we are just simply going to send through to U.S. Marshals and the FBI and just say, you know what, hello, people, maybe you should just take a little look at this, because something, as Shakespeare said, something is rotten in the state of Denmark.
Yeah.
And the state of Kentucky in this case, but Shakespeare didn't write that part.
That's
what we're doing.
What did you think about the heat while we were out there?
What did I think about the...
The heat.
The what, Kevin? Sorry?
The heat. You know, the sun shines, makes the earth hot.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't catch that.
Robbie, did you catch it?
No, you broke up.
What did you think about the heat? Well, apparently, the word heat is not going to transmit through the phone lines. Okay, it was hot there, right? Can you guys?
It was terribly hot.
Okay, so you can hear me. Okay. So,
oh, yeah,
what did
hot.
You think about the heat?
Oh, when we were down there, what was it? It was like, what we call up here in Canada, it was, what was it, like 44 degrees down there, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It must have been at least 95 to 100 degrees.
Yeah, and very, very humid. Very humid.
And you, Kevin, you were wearing a hat, and I don't know how you managed to do that. Well, he escaped that because he's bald, and he can just sweat through the skin on the top of his head.
Yeah, well,
that's true.
I wear the hat so I don't get sunburned. And Robbie got a little sunburned, but I wear the hat so I don't get sunburned. But I tell you what was hot was that that jacket I was wearing, that coat. That was hot. All right. Now, Michael, why you've got this show called Rescue Mediums, and now you've got this show where you've got Robbie as a psychic looking at these cold cases. Why are you focused on the paranormal? What is it about the paranormal that has you so focused?
It's something that has fascinated me for a while, it's not really that I'm looking as a TV producer or an individual for absolute confirmation of the psychic realm, but it is something that's crept up on me. When we started doing Rescue Mediums, one of the primary people in that is a woman called Jackie Dennison from England. And the odd way that we met is that I live in a house in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And I had phoned somebody who lives all the way out west in Vancouver, which is just north of Seattle, for example. And she'd asked for, she was doing genealogical research into her family, and she came up with my address as a place where her family lived. And I said, well, yeah, I can find some stuff from the local archives. And then she said to me after I found it, oh, by the way, I have a friend in England who is looking to do a TV show, but she doesn't like the BBC, she doesn't like the producers. And I guess as a TV producer, you hear that a lot. So I sort of said, like, yeah, okay, you know, very politely. And she gave me the phone number, and I said, thank you, yeah. And then for some reason, 2 weeks later, I felt compelled to phone Jackie, and I phoned her. And she said, yeah. She said, oh, you live at this certain place in Toronto? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, by the way, my great uncle built your house. And I went, holy, that's a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did the zinger where she said, oh, and by the way, he's still there. So as I speak to you now, I'm in my house. And her great uncle, Oliver, still is a spirit in my house, and I can't say that I should dab with him or anything, but I do feel him around.
All right, we have to step away for a break, guys. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas. Before we get back to our interview with Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas, let me give you an update very quickly on Jeff Harvey. I talked with Jeff today. He did have his leg amputated. I talked with him today. He said he's feeling much, much better, and he's recovering really rapidly, much faster than the doctors had anticipated. And he asked me to pass along to you his thanks, his gratitude for all of your prayers, good wishes, and healing energy sent his way. He said he will be up and around and kind of back to normal here in about 2 weeks. So I told him I would share that with you, and I wanted you to know how Jeff Harvey is doing. And by the way, he sounded today much stronger than he did before the surgery. So he's much improved. Back to our guests this evening, Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas. And when we went away for break, Michael, you were telling us about your house being haunted.
Yes. The main host of our show, Rescue Mediums, her great, I had no idea of this, her great-great uncle actually built my house with his bare hands, and I checked that out, and it was true. And then she dropped the bomb on me that he's still here. So both my my girlfriend and I, we feel him and we hear him around, and we, you know, I always say like, hey, good night, Oliver, or you know, what's going on, Oliver, or you know, Oliver, can you pour me another glass of wine? Well, he doesn't do that. He should. But yeah, the house. That's why I'm so interested in the psychic realm. Because there are things that I love quoting Shakespeare. I mean, you know, there are more things in heaven and earth than are dreamed of in your philosophy, as Shakespeare said. And I believe it's really true. And I think everybody should open up their third eye and take notice of this stuff. And I think that in cases of crime, that you know, somebody like Robbie as a psychic profiler is perfectly positioned to be an assistant to hard-working police forces to help. I mean, mm-hmm. We are an adjunct. We're not saying that we know the answers, but we're saying that, my goodness, if you listen to us, we might be able to help point you in the right direction. That's what I think.
When you were, last week, you were working on shooting this new TV show. Did you come across anything? Did you see anything? Did you hear anything in what either Robbie or I did or said that was a surprise to you?
To me? Oh, absolutely. Specifically, things that Robbie came up with that were very much like way out of the blue. Just so your listeners know, Robbie does a lot of it. He'll be able to speak much better about this than I. He does psychometry, which is touching an object and gleaning a psychic effect from it. And we were lucky enough because of the mother of one of the victims, a wonderful woman. She gave us a bunch of her daughters, and it must have been so hard for her, gave us a bunch of her daughter's possessions, and Robbie was feeling the purse. And we were shooting this, and Robbie got... I should let Robbie say this, because we're watching this, and Robbie got a feeling from the purse that there was something missing, and he was looking for something. And it's almost like the deceased girl working through Robbie was saying, like, hey, you know, let them know, blah, blah, blah. But maybe if it's okay, like, Robbie, you know what I'm talking about. So mm-hmm. What if you tell that part of the story?
Sure. We had the camera set up, and Sharon brought in a bunch of April's items. And we laid them on the bed and put them on the stand in front of me. It was her purse and her clothing and items that were inside her purse. And when I started going through her change pockets or where she keeps her money and stuff, I remember Gregory saying that my whole persona changed, my face, everything looked different. And the camera guys, they said, you know, everything changed on me. And I kept turning this purse over and over and opening it up and closing it, turning it faster and faster and looking in it. And I remember looking down at it, and everything else was black in the room. And I remember seeing the broken mirror inside. I remember seeing everything empty and just kept going over and over. And I'm saying, we're looking for something and we can't. And I was getting frustrated and I didn't understand what she was trying to do. And then I just broke down and I couldn't take it anymore. And then when we took a break, Sharon came forward and said 20 years ago she took her license out of the wallet and put it into her own purse and has been there ever since. And her daughter got that license just days before she was murdered on her 16th birthday. And it was just amazing because that's what she was looking for. She was trying to identify this precious item that she had that was in her purse and that now mom had in her purse. and she was working through me, and it was amazing. I mean, my whole body, my whole system changed. It wasn't me anymore. It was her.
And you noticed this visually, Michael?
Pardon me?
You noticed this change in Robbie visually?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, like, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I mean, we have it. We captured it, of course, because we were shooting. And, yeah, it was a complete change. And at the time, of course, when we're shooting, I mean, Robbie didn't know because, you know, he's doing his thing, I guess is the word. And but this, his demeanor, everything changed. Mm-hmm. And it became very powerful. And it became like we were, I think at that point, we're sort of being observers of something that is really, how do I put this, more powerful than we in this corporeal realm understand. And this, as I said before, I think is orchestrated by the people that have gone before. I think the dead girl, April, was sort of saying, hey, look, notice me, notice me. I mean, none of us know what it's going to be like when we pass over, but I think you really can see the tracks of something there. And as they work through Robbie, when Robbie works with his guides and his psychic abilities, you can see that somebody somewhere is trying to say hello, like notice me, hello, this is what I'm doing. And it's a very powerful thing to watch, and I find it very interesting because so many cynics out there, and I don't blame people for being cynics, but when you actually see this, it makes you pause. It makes you go like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't be so cynical because there's something going on here. And I don't know what it is, and I know what Robbie feels, and I know how what he's feeling inside with this thing, but I think it's something that's guided beyond our physical realm, that somebody out there is guiding us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that very strongly.
Okay, Robbie, I'm going to ask you sort of the same question that I asked Michael. In all those places we went and things that we looked at and people we talked to, was there anything that really shocked you?
Yeah. When we interviewed the one deceased family, the boy in question, everything that was said last year and brought up into the investigation part with you and being filmed, and also with doctors and, you know, the police officers and what have you, when we sat there and he confirmed that, you know, I said, I see them being hit and these are strike marks, and then he confirmed the type of, let's say, weapon that was used, it blew me away because, I mean, I looked right over at you immediately and my face just must have looked like it went white, and because it confirmed everything. You know, and there's an individual out there who's wanting to talk and confirm everything that we have. It's amazing. And to look at just the specifics on photographs and evidence that got, I would say, blundered in a certain way and mismanaged, there's a better word, and we sit there within, you know, half a day and pick everything out, it's phenomenal. And, you know, it just matches everything that the psychic says that goes along with the criminal profiling, that goes along with the criminal investigation, and you tie it together, and then you look at the people who were in charge back then trying to distinguish, you know, where did they come from? Where's the indicativeness of, you know, showing the proof that you even tried to do this? And we got all the evidence right here in our hands. It was amazing. It just shattered me. When I looked around at everybody who was involved and the power that was coming out of
the two individuals that we were speaking of and speaking to, you could see the change in a lot of people who witnessed, who actually encountered the other side, and yourself, Kevin, for one, you know, and you know, just to look at, you know, the individual who's never encountered that type of situation, turn around and go, holy, and, you know, this is what I've just seen, and I can't believe it. So, you know, looking at that, it was very tremendous. And the funny thing, it's not funny, but I mean, this is serious. And what's so great about this, it's all captured on film.
Yeah.
And, Michael, do you want me to talk about what Robbie just mentioned? About the reaction,
sure.
I had?
What do you mean, like about...
He just talked about a reaction that I had to something.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because, I mean, as you know, I mean, and it was wonderful. I mean, it was the first time I'd met you. Fascinating individual, no matter what your listeners say about you. You're a fascinating man. But you
thank you.
But you are, I wouldn't say... cynical. You're very objective, and I think that is because of your years in the business of policing. And I watched you have a very visceral reaction that sort of you were like, "What? Hang on.
Yeah,
what's going on here?" And it was fascinating to see that you. You too had a reaction. So these people that passed over that finally are getting some attention, I think working through everybody. They're working through Robbie. They're working through me. And I think they definitely, I definitely think that they touched you, because to see your reaction was something I think probably something that you haven't felt before too. I don't know if I'm mm-hmm. overstepping the mark in saying that, Kevin, but
yeah.
I think it's something that you haven't felt directly that much.
Well, and well, I'll talk about it when we come back from this break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guests this evening are Michael Lamport, who is a very successful TV producer. He's also an actor, writer, lots of stuff. Robbie Thomas, who you know because you've been listening to the Kevin Smith Show for a long time, and you've heard Robbie on this show a number of times. He is a psychic. And very, very tuned in to what it takes as a psychic to solve crimes. We were talking about this reaction that I had to something, and I want to make it clear to the audience, it was not an emotional reaction. It was physical. Michael, I don't know how much I can tell. Can I just set the scene a little bit?
Absolutely. I think you definitely should for your listeners. I think that would be very powerful.
Okay. We're at the end of our shooting. We're doing the last little bit of shooting. And we are on top. We're way out in the boondocks. I mean, way out in the country. And we're up on top of a very steep hill where there is a family cemetery. This is where the girl is buried. And the cameras are on Robbie. Robbie is over next to this young girl's grave. And he's talking, And I'm about 30 to 40 feet away behind Robbie. Okay? And now, at that point, what you have is a line of trees. And there's a little bit of shade there. So I'm standing over in the shade off camera. Robbie's talking. There are some other people kind of spread out around me, standing in the shade. The girl's mother, the girl's uncle, and some other people standing around there. So I'm watching Robbie as he's doing his thing there by the grave, saying what he's saying, and all of a sudden, I felt someone physically hug me from behind, to the point that I turned around. I mean, it was real. I was hugged. I turned around to see who it was, and there was no one there. And I got to tell you, Michael, I've been doing police stuff and death investigations for a number of years. Of course, I don't do that anymore. I do this. I host this talk show, but I put a lot of years into that. I have never, ever, ever had that happen.
Yeah, I remember that very, very vividly, Kevin. And that was very, it was very significant. And I mean, I saw in you too that something had happened. Of course, I didn't know at the time what was happening because I'm just being the observer behind the camera. And yeah, that was very visceral. It was like, holy moly, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that speaks to confirmation that hopefully that we were and are on the right track. I mean, we're not. Like, our job isn't here, right, to point fingers at problems with previous police work or anything like that. But definitely a big hiccup went through that town when these two kids died, and I think they're just saying, hey, everybody, look, something happened here, and the outcome isn't right. And I think that that she was there letting you know, Kevin, that you're on the right track, we're on the right track. And it is startling, isn't it? It's startling when something happens to one like that, and you actually have to experience it, and you go like, "Oh my goodness!" Because there was nobody around you.
No, there was no one around me. I thought maybe one of the other people had walked up behind me. I was focused on. See, I was watching and listening, and I was focused on what Robbie was doing. And I didn't know, maybe somebody walked behind me, because there were other people over there on that side of the hill, and I couldn't imagine who would be hugging me, and I turned around and there was no one there.
I know.
Yeah. Well, now, talking about being on the right track, Robbie's been on the show before, so he sort of knows me in that regard, but neither Robbie or you have ever seen me do investigative work. And so it was a first time for both of you. And now let me ask you to be honest about this. Did it surprise you that I was working when it didn't appear that I was working?
For me,
yeah.
You were very focused and very dedicated. I guess what I would say is you're very factually driven. You're like, well, just let me know the facts. Like that the old adage, just
yeah.
the facts, man.
Just the facts, facts, ma'am. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something that is inherent in you. But to see this affect you, I did find. What do you think, Robbie? But I was like, oh, it's sort of like, oh, Kevin just got nudged. I don't know. What do you think, Robbie?
Yeah, I think that Kevin was straight-lined and wanting to not be so much, you know, the obvious, but be outside the box himself and take it another step, which is pretty cool because, you know, in police work, it's that vigilance, that collar blue line, which they toll, and, you know, they do a great job, but, you know, this was a little different, and it was fantastic to see that. It really was.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that I found, and this was very interesting, you talked about this a little bit, Michael, about the, you know, this was a big hiccup in the town when these kids turned up dead. But one of the things I found is 20 years later, they're still hiccuping. This did not go down well with the people in town. I talked to, as you know, I talked to lots and lots of people who had no idea I was interviewing them and collecting information. And these folks...
That's true.
These folks still had this very much on their minds. This isn't something the town has swept under the carpet.
Yes. It swept under the carpet, Kevin, in as much as... I mean, you know, sometime, I mean, it was 1991
mm-hmm.
when these poor kids supposedly had accidental drowning. And I do think it is something that has been, as you say, sort of swept under the carpet. And it's like, let's not worry about this. It'll go away.
Well,
and
officially,
I think
yes.
For so many years, it has gone away. And I think with Robbie's psychic ability, it's sort of like, you know what? It's not going to go away. And I think, as we've all said, this is a very, very important case that we hope will be reopened. But there are so many cases like this in the United States and around the world.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back with Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas right after this.
K-Plus feed feature, and I'd like to see you in our community. It's only $6.95 per month and worth far more. I hope you will join today.
All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guests, Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas. For those of you who are just now joining us in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for the first hour, but we're glad you're here now. Michael Lamport is a very successful television producer and actor, award-winning producer and director, and also Robbie Thomas. Now, Robbie Thomas is a world-renowned psychic, famous for a lot of different reasons, but one of them, and probably the predominant reason, is his ability to solve seemingly unsolvable cases. Now, on our TV channel, Robbie, people are now seeing the picture that's on my website about tonight's show. And we see Michael over on the left, we see you on the right, and your arms are crossed. And you've got all these tattoos. What are all those tattoos about?
Oh, one day I went to the store and got these lick-ons, and I put them on. No, just kidding. no, what they are, they're insignias of all my work, and one of my inside forearm is the Saint Michael. And I went through to be a police officer twice, and the patron saint of police officers is Saint Michael. Now, Saint Michael on my arm is stepping on the devil. And I did a case in 2007 where a little four-year-old boy was murdered. He went missing. And with the information that was given within an hour and a bit, was the name of the murderer, the location of where he would be, the body. And now that murderer is, was on death row as of last year. He came forward and admitted to everything, so he actually got life in prison. And you'll never hurt another little boy ever again. So that's a piece of my life that's on my arm. And everything that you see are my books and movies I've been in.
Okay, now, Michael, do you have tattoos of all of your TV shows?
No, unfortunately I don't. Although I do have a tattoo on the left side of my back of a very small salamander that I did get doing a TV show. And unlike Robbie, I'm not a fan of tattoos because A, they hurt, and B, when you get out of the shower and you forget you've got it, you think you have a lizard crawling up your bum. So I'm not a big fan of tattoos.
Well, Robbie, are you going to continue adding to your tattoo collection as you complete cases, or are you pretty much finished?
No, I think I have the yin and yang of as many tattoos on my body as there is. You know, I got the painting from the Celestine Chapel. I've got different things about God all over me. And because I'm a very strong believer in God and man. So I think I'm done. But the markings will be in my heart now for every case that we do and everything that we go forward in catching these people who think they can get away with murder.
Michael, what are your plans for this show?
What we want to do is, just for your listeners, because, you know, when we all sit down, and you know, I do it, of course, sit down and we watch TV, it all sort of looks like a slam dunk. But it's a hard business to get something even noticed by a network. So the plans are that we are going to use what we've shot and put it together in a very compelling way. And then I will probably, my business partner Gregory, will go down to New York. And we have some very, very good connections with A&E Network and Bio and History and everything, and they know our work, and the idea is to get them to say, hey, yeah, this is a compelling show. It's a mixture of the psychic realm and the actual police realm, and I think it will be compelling for them and for people, so that we hope that if it's green lit, as we say in the business, that we will then be able to go to different places in the states where injustice has been done. I mean, you know, we're not the avenging angels or anything, but if we can help in any small way to bring a conclusion, or just to bring even hope of a conclusion to a to these families, it would be wonderful. I mean, and one of the reasons that I'm really compelled to do this is my my brother was actually shot to death in Dallas. He was shot to death in Irving, Texas. And nobody has, to this day, found who it was that killed him. Of course, I guess I've come to terms with it. It's sort of like Sharon in Kentucky with her daughter's demise. I mean, you come to terms with it as much as you can, but the fact that maybe we might be able to, in some way, help somebody, I think is the most paramount thing about the show moving forward. It's not about, you know, doing the next, you know, America's Most Wanted or anything like that. But it is about bringing conclusions and help to families that are grieving right now. That's my fervent hope and wish about this show if it gets picked up.
One of the things, a couple of things here that I think are really important. One, there is a notion that police officers don't want to have anything to do with psychic stuff. And publicly, they've made that pretty clear, publicly. But the truth is, and I'm speaking as an insider because I was a cop, the truth is, any cop that's worth his salt is psychic. He may not know it, and he may not use the terminology, but you've all heard cops say, man, I see the evidence, but there's just something about this that's not right. My gut tells me this over here is correct. What are they saying? What are they doing? They're picking up an impression from something. All of the evidence points one direction, and yet there's something that's, they're intuitive about it, and they're saying...
Wait, you said this, Kevin. I'm sorry to interrupt. You said this, and the way you termed it, which I think all of your listeners will be aware of, is I have a hunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a hunch is a psychic hit. I think so. Don't you, Robbie? I think that's what that is.
Oh, absolutely. It's a part of intuition.
Yeah, because... I mean, if you just take, I've had this happen, and every cop, every investigator has had this happen. You take the evidence, you look at the evidence, and it's pointing straight one direction. And yet, there's something telling you that's not right. Okay, now it doesn't happen in every case, but it happens. And I think that's intuitiveness. You're getting information from somewhere else that's telling you the evidence you're looking at is correct, but it's incomplete. The evidence you're looking at is pointing the wrong direction because it's incomplete. And where is that intuition coming from? Where is that? You know, I think that is the same thing that we're talking about when we talk about psychic intuition.
It's like the hug you got at the gravesite.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, that, I don't even know how to classify that. I will tell you, unabashedly, it happened. And I say on this show all the time, whatever is, just is. And doesn't matter whether we can explain it or not, it just is. There's a very famous engineer, worked for Lockheed Skunk Works. His name is Boyd Bushman. And he made the statement, someone mentioned a scientist to him and said, but you know, his data doesn't always seem to make sense. And Bushman said, data doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be accurate. And, you know, that applies to so many things in life, including this psychic intuition. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be accurate.
Yeah, I think in life we should all listen to that little inner voice, that hunch, that thing that we get in our gut,
mm-hmm.
because I think that if we don't pay attention to it, I think we're ignoring a very important realm of our existence. So we should pay attention to those little things inside of us and say, hey, this isn't right, or hey, this is right, because it's not always negative. And we should listen to it. All of us should listen to it.
Now, let me give you an example of where I see, from working on this project with Robbie, where I see a tremendous help if a police officer will just listen to what the psychic says. It doesn't mean that he's got to go with it. Doesn't mean he's got to dance to the tune. But listen, pay attention, and stay open. And here's the example. Robbie said the deaths did not occur at the place where everyone says the deaths occurred. He said there's another location. And he took us to that location. And he said there were multiple people involved. This is not just one person that did this. There were three, maybe four, involved. Later, when I was questioning someone, and let's see, it would be the brother. There was a female who was killed and a male. Well, I'm saying they were killed. They're dead. The official report says they drowned accidentally. I'm saying I don't think so. It's my opinion. It's not an accusation. It's an opinion, but it is an informed opinion. So I'm talking to the brother of the boy who was killed. And Robbie's there. The film crew's there. Lamport and Shepherd are there. We're all there. And he's telling us this story and of what happened as far as he knew. He was not present when it happened. And I'm not going to give away the secret of how he knew about it. I think that's a powerful part of the show. But when he started talking, it led me to another question or two, the answer to which was there were three people involved in the killing of his brother. From his point of view, his brother was killed. From my point of view, my opinion, that's what happened. But he said there were three people involved, and he gave the names.
Yep.
Now, that was pretty striking, because Robbie had told us that there were three, maybe four.
Yep.
And then this brother of the victim said there were three.
Yep.
So it was pretty powerful. And by the way, folks, none of that was in any of the official reports. Okay, so we didn't know about that till he said it. And it was powerful. Okay, now go ahead.
There were many things the boy's brother had said. that weren't in, as you say, Kevin, the official, in inverted commas, the official report.
Mm-hmm.
The boy was not a swimmer. He was found, with his shirt off, jeans and shoes on. All of the stuff that Robbie had said,
mm-hmm.
The three of us remember. I mean, things just did not add up logically.
Well, certainly for me they didn't, and I think, I'm looking at it from one perspective. Robbie's looking at it from another, but Robbie, it didn't seem to add up for you either.
I'm sorry, say that again. You broke up?
None of it seemed to add up for you either.
No, it was like going around in a circle and listening to, I call it the humanistic side of people and stories, and then taking a look at what I see that's totally opposite of what they're telling me. It just didn't add up. And when I said I see them being struck, and not drowned, and I said, she did not drown. There's another place, not this place. And in the way that, in the manner of the boy, how he died, was very indicative of how I was saying how he died. And it was amazing, because you see it played out, and you tell him this, and here we go. We got this scenario. We have what people assume is going on, and then what I really see. So then I give it over to the detective side of it, would be you, and you don't get what they're talking about, and then all of a sudden we get this wall of information thrown at us, and it just like stymies us because it's everything that we were talking about before it was told to us.
Yeah, when we were talking with him.
We physically went to that other location, and Robbie, you felt very strongly that in this location is where the actual altercation occurred, and that they were transported to the lake. And and I remember very, very vividly that you were very certain about this in the way that you see. And then, funnily enough, sort of things start to corroborate in an odd way. People, you know, sort of say, well, yeah, I mean, anecdotally, people say, well, yeah, we think it may have happened here, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't get into a police report. And a police report, and Kevin, you were the one that sort of said, hey, this, why did they, I'm jumping around all over the place here, but, you know, why did the sheriff's department refer this to the state police? And you were quite shocked about that. And myself, not knowing how the justice system like that works, it did seem weird.
Well, yeah. The point being, if it was just accidental drowning, then why wouldn't the sheriff's office just close it out, do their report, yeah, sign it off? Instead, they punted. And to me, you know, they, when I say they punted, I mean they sent it over to the state police for them to investigate. Well, if it's all, you know, if it's all just a open and shut thing and it's accidental drowning, then just do your report and close it. But no, they sent it to the state police. And that indicated to me that, number one, there's something funny about this, and I don't mean hilarious, I mean odd. Something odd about this. And two, someone powerful involved. And so it's a political hot potato. And so, you know, that's just, that's what it indicates to me. Now, I'm not saying for sure that that's the case, but that's what it looks like. And generally, when something smells like cabbage, it is. It generally is exactly what it looks like. So anyway, yeah, that the paperwork on that sort of jumped up and screamed. All right, I want to move away from this case just a little bit and take a look toward the future. You got some more cases coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. You broke up, but I caught the last little bit of what you were saying. We got quite a bit of few cases coming up and working with the U.S. Marshals office and certain other sheriffs and detectives. Very strong cases, such as this one here, where, you know, I'm going to say corruption, blundering, and also people who think they can get away with murder. It's not going to happen because we're going to expose you. Just like, Kevin, we sat down with this case, and we picked out so much information that when we sat with the doctors on this one case, I'm sorry for referring back, but when we sat back with this case and we showed these integral experts who are in the medical field, and we pinpointed certain aspects on, I can't get into it, I don't want to give it away, but I know people out there who are listening are probably going, you know, I kind of understand what you're saying. And they go, oh my God, how did we miss that? How did we miss that? And yet, you know, we took it and found it. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do the same with all these other cases.
Yeah, in some cases, obviously, I don't think any of us are saying an intentional cover-up, although sometimes that may happen because then that goes into the realm of the conspiracy theory paradigm. But just, you know, people that maybe thought they were doing the right thing and they overlooked something. But the, like I said before, yeah, the main thing is that what we want to do is bring closure to people that have these questions in their head about people that they loved, and they're saying, wait, this is not right. There's something wrong. I think you'll agree, Robbie. Our destination is not to sit around and point fingers at everybody, but it's to sort of say, hey, no, just reopen this and look at this and give closure to people that are living. And also, I know this sounds airy-fairy again, like I said earlier, but also give closure to the people that have passed away because they need their story told. That's what I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It's bringing forward the truth, and that's what we want to do. We want to bring the reprieve and the solace to the families and also to the people who have passed on so that their stories can be told and the truth can be out there, laid out in front of everyone. It's to assist the law enforcement agencies and doctors in accumulating the proper evidence or, you know, what they do have in front of them if they've missed and show them and lay out a painting of how, you know, psychically you can foretell or see the happening of the events and then have the detective on this case pick out the missed information and piece it together.
Well, you know, one of the reasons these cases exist, now we talk about, you know, we've talked about, you know, well, why did they punt this over to the state police and so forth. But, you know, folks, you need to understand that there is a very real but sad reality called budget. And sometimes, especially in a smaller town, there's just not the budget to put a lot of time into a lot of investigation. And, you know, there are people I know who will say, well, you know, you're talking about someone's life. It shouldn't come down to money. It shouldn't, but it does. And if they just don't have the budget, then there can be a lack of investigation. Doesn't mean there was an intentional cover-up. It just means they did what they could afford to do and ran out of money and couldn't do any more. It does happen that way, Michael.
And, I completely agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really sad fact of the world that we live in, not just, not just here in the U.S., but all around the world. It is like we have limited resources.
We have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Remember, if you haven't subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, you need to do so. It's called the K-Files. You can't miss the link. It's a big link right in the middle of your screen when you go to our website. And the website is kevinsmithshow.com. All right. Sign up for it. And if you don't like it, you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It'll never cost you a penny. My guests this evening, Michael Lamport and Robbie Thomas, we are talking about, specifically, a TV show that Michael Lamport and Gregory Shepherd are producing. And Robbie Thomas and I spent last week shooting the show. Along with Michael and Gregory, but we're sort of branching out a little bit. We're talking about that show, but we're kind of talking beyond that show a little bit as well. Robbie, you've done some work with police agencies on the other side of the world, I understand. Hello, Robbie?
Oh, you broke up. I'm sorry.
You went to sleep. I didn't break up. Come on, I'm psychic, too.
That's right. Uh-huh. I'm here in Canada. We're 5 hours ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you did. I heard a few words, and then you were gone.
All right, you've done some work with a police agency on the other side of the planet. You've done work with police agencies in the United States and Canada, and I think elsewhere. Where are some of the places that you've assisted?
Yes, I've done a case in France. Very astounding case where a gentleman was found in his barn, and they said it was suicide, which they had a detective working on the case, couldn't speak English, and so I was talking to the individual who's the son, and he would interpret back and forth. That was a very difficult case. It actually still stymie, it's stalemated. They're very stubborn in the way they do the police work, and they just cut it off as suicide and wouldn't go any further. Although giving information of who he last seen, where he was that night before, it all came true to what I was talking about. So it's difficult because certain aspects in a case police will look at, like you say, and who are more open to it, and then there's some who are just closed-minded and won't look at this whatsoever. I've also had ties with a case in Iran, of all places. There's been several cases around the world where I've been asked to help out and do some cases. I find them very fascinating. People are people. We're all the same. And like I said, I never say no. And, we just help out as many people as we can. This show is going to be one of the only shows I strongly feel that will go that extra mile to go on the front lines and put ourselves in jeopardy just to find the evidence to help out and assist, just as we did down in Kentucky just recently. Pretty amazing stuff. I mean, we can't give it all away to the folks, because I know Michael would have a heart attack, but I mean, it's very powerful. When you take a look at this case, you're going to go, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this before. It's going to be jaw-dropping. It's going to be keep you on the edge of your seat. And did we solve it? From my mind and from what I see and everything on the evidence scale, yes. And we just got to get it to the right authorities to do the right action.
Well, there is one thing I think we can tell additionally, because it wasn't on camera. It was a surprise to all of us, and that is the witness, person involved in this case, who literally ran when he heard I was coming out to talk to him.
Yeah.
He took off, jumped in his car, and sped away when they told him I was stepping to the lobby to talk to him.
Yeah.
And I got to the lobby
just... That's absolutely right, and that's very odd.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me says, I know why people would run away from you, because you are scary. And he did run. It was so bizarre. And he came to the lobby, and with the excuse that he was dropping his shirt off. This is a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't drop a shirt off at a hotel. And he ran, yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. Now, you said I was scary.
Are we allowed to say what his profession was or is?
No, I don't think we should, because he's going to figure pretty highly in the investigation when they reopen
it. Yeah, he is. You're right.
Yeah. You said I was scary. You know, my nickname is Steel Eye. Did you see anything during that week that would indicate to you why I got that name?
How did you get that name, Kevin?
From staring at a suspect's eyes while I talked to him. That's how I got it.
But you do. And just for your listeners, if I may sort of digress a little bit from the show, is that you actually gave me Kevin actually gave me a crash course in interrogation, which I found absolutely astounding, because, you know, we all say, you know, you look to the left, you look to the right, you know, you're telling the truth, you're going to your right ear, your right brain and everything. And and Kevin gave me a secret about something that you put on your shirt to distract people, and it works.
It does work. It does
and you
work.
Came in all excited about it to tell everybody, and I blew your cover within 30 seconds.
Yeah, you did. And then somebody stole my iPhone.
Yes, exactly.
That was a good evening.
It was a good evening. It certainly was. All right, now, provided that all of this goes as it's supposed to, you've got some more cases lined up. You know, when you look at the relief and the gratitude of the families of these two individuals who died 20 years ago, I think they did not drown. I think from looking at the evidence that this was a double homicide. That's my opinion of it. But,
yeah.
You look at the gratitude and the, just the relief that was very apparent in those two families. Man, that makes it worth it. That makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it absolutely does because, In the case that we just looked at, most certainly the mother of the female victim has never, ever stopped pursuing this because she knows that it isn't right what's mm-hmm. happened, and her tenacity is amazing, and she's a wonderful woman, and her tenacity is, I think, what has driven this, kept this case alive. I know that's an ironic thing to say after your daughter's dead, but she has kept this case alive through her tenacity.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
You know, it's very much alive in the minds of a lot of the people in town. I mentioned this earlier. One of the things that is important from my side of the house is to find out, what do the people around, what do they think about it? What's their mood about it? Because, you know, especially the ones who were alive at the time, who knew these victims, what do they think about what has happened since this tragedy? The reason that's important is because it gives you an indication of really how likely is it that this can be reopened. And I got to tell you, I talked to lots of people. I talked to waitresses. I talked to people on the street. I talked to people that were coming out of the hotel and just struck up a conversation and just talked with them about it. And it's very much alive in their minds. And what's alive in their minds is something's not right. Something's not
yeah.
right here. And so I think there's a pretty good chance that it can be reopened. I certainly hope that the appropriate agencies will do what they need to do and reopen it, because I think when they do, it's going to be a slam dunk. I think it's that clear what really happened.
Yeah, I agree. And what you said when we were down there, Kevin, is, and I personally... I'm not too familiar with the hierarchy of the law enforcement agencies in the United States, because I know you know we have the local police, the sheriff's department, the state police.
Mm-hmm.
But you were telling me, above all of those, we do have access to U.S. Marshals and the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we all watch, you know, Criminal Minds and all those wonderful shows, but sometimes in order to get something reopened, we do have to step up and go to a bigger agency. I think you indicated that when we were down there.
Well, yeah. And maybe they will take it up and do a reinvestigation. If they do, I'm confident they will come to the conclusions that we came to, that an independent death scene investigator that you called in to examine what evidence there was, and you know, I had already given you my assessment of it, and he gave his assessment, and his assessment was more from a medical standpoint, a forensic standpoint, but he concurred. And I think when they look at it, they will be pretty much compelled to reopen this. I think so.
Yes, I hope beyond hope that they will, and not just this case. As we move forward with other ones, that you know, we could all really try to make a difference. And I don't mean that in a trite way at all. I mean it in a very sincere way. That if we can help with Robbie's psychic ability to see things and just tie some loose ends together that just make people say, hey, wait a minute. And that's all, I think that's all we need to do to reopen anything. And hopefully there will be great conclusions in the future for this case and another one.
Well, you mentioned Robbie. Let's check on Robbie. I haven't heard from him for a few minutes. Are you still awake, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. All right. Robbie, how did you come to have this case? How did it come to your attention?
How did it come to me? I'm sorry, say that again.
How did this case come to your attention? How did you even know about it?
This case, all the cases that I usually get are either they're phoned in or people write into my office, and they stem from all over the United States, you know, and also around the world, but I'm only at being able to get to the ones that are close around. But now because of the show, you know, being the creator of the show and writing it and formulating it, and then Michael sitting down with me and taking it another step, it's phenomenal, because now we're going to be able to help out many people rather than just, you know, saying I can help out one here and not you. So it's going to work out really well.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Michael Lamport, television producer extraordinaire, and Robbie Thomas, psychic extraordinaire, when we can keep him awake. And that's a bit unfair, because apparently there is some kind of problem with Robbie's telephone. Robbie, why don't you get a real phone?
I get a real phone. Wait till I see you next time. You ever had cornflakes in your hotel room bed?
No, I haven't. I really
well,
haven't. I heard somebody spray painted inside my room, though, at the hotel. Yeah, I heard.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, I heard somebody spray painted on the wall, KSS Rocks.
Oh, yes.
those Kentucky fans.
Oh, mercy. You know, we met a lot of great people. Some were affiliated with the case, some were not. We just met some wonderful people. And I want to say this because I know we have people right there in the town where we were working, people that we talked to who are listening to this show tonight. Some are watching this show tonight. And I want to say, I've traveled all over the world, and I've never been treated better than right there. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree, because it's funny, especially coming from Canada, from Toronto, right? Toronto's a big city. You know, it's 5 million people. It's you know, same size as Chicago. It's bigger than Chicago. And you do it's a learning curve because you do have a stereotype. Oh, my goodness, we're going down to the Blue Hills of Kentucky. And you all have that, you know, that scary notion of, you know, oh, my God, you know, what's all going to happen to us down there? I don't know. I'm pretty scared. And the thing is that you're right, Kevin. Everybody, not just the families, but the people that we just met were the nicest and most. What affected me was the most sincere people, like what they said, like they meant.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something else, and this did not surprise me, but talking about the stereotype, these are very, very sharp people.
Oh, yeah.
This girl's mother should have been a police detective. She is sharp as a tack.
Oh, by far.
Yeah. Very sharp people. You know, wonderful people, though. I didn't meet anyone who was not friendly and not open. Everybody was friendly and open, and as you say, they speak from the heart. They mean what they say. And
the only person that was not friendly was the, as they say in Harry Potter, the person whose name we shouldn't mention, that ran away from you in the lobby and of the hotel. So now all the listeners are going like, who was that? Who was that? He was the one that ran away. And we all know, and Sharon knows, and you know, and Robbie knows, and I know.
And he knows.
And a pretty significant person in this horrible event. But he ran away from you like he was terrified.
All right, let me use a southern phrase since I am a southerner. He ran like a scalded dog. And he did.
That's it.
He did.
He did.
That's a good southern phrase. I don't know if they use that in Kentucky, but we used it in Texas. He ran like a scalded dog.
Hopefully he's listening, you know, and maybe we should all just plug in a tape for 7 days and we'll be qualified to run faster.
Well, he could have gotten a gold medal. I mean, he was moving. He really was. Okay, so.
And then he would be just as happy as a dead hog in the sunshine.
Yeah, I guess so. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, we're using that accent, but, you know, we didn't run into too many people with the accent. They had a bit of a southern accent, but not really as thick as what we see in the movies.
No, they were all beautiful people. And, you know, you become part of their family. You know, I got nothing but good to say. And, you know, my heart's open to the families. I don't know what to say. You know, my heart's open to them.
Well, I'll tell you something else that was really interesting is the social structure. The friends are just like family. The friends of the family are just like family. And, I mean, they're tight. It's a very tight social structure there.
Ooh.
And you don't see that too many places around the world these days. It was a little bit rare. But I liked it.
I agree with you. And I think people don't... you know, like we keep talking about stereotypes, or people keep talking about stereotypes, and the thing is that you're right. The people don't realize, like, the heartland, I guess this is the heartland, part of the heartland of America, and people don't realize how powerful and strong it is. And it really is, in a very positive way.
Yeah, I think so. All right, we've got a couple of minutes here. And I'll let Robbie wrap up, and then Michael, you wrap up. But Robbie, remember, we've only got a couple of minutes, so you got to share that with Michael.
Yes, absolutely, folks. This is a program you do not want to miss, and I do mean do not want to miss, because we're going to the heart of the matter. We're going to bring you on the front lines, and we're going to expose the truth, and we're going to do what people call the impossible, and love families. Work with them and law enforcement, and we're going to put bad guys away. Michael?
I echo exactly what Robbie has just said. And everybody, when the show does go to air, which we're all confident it will, don't be frightened by the way Robbie looks. He looks like he is a tough guy. He's bald, he's covered in tattoos, and he's got piercing. But he's a good guy. So, you know, you don't have to walk on the other side of the street when he comes towards you, unless you're a bad guy, and then run.
Yes, because remember, you can't hide from the mind's eye.
Exactly.
You know, as non-Kentucky as he looks, no one ever shied away from him there or reacted or anything. I mean, he looks like he's from the south side of Chicago. But but nobody ever shied away from that. They were
no, people are beautiful. Yeah. I scare myself when I look in the mirror.
Well, I'm glad you admitted it, because you scare
Robbie's
everyone.
Robbie's had all the mirrors removed from his house.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for being with me this evening. And, you know, I hope when Gregory is back that we can get the two of you guys, Lamport and Shepherd, on the show, because I really like Gregory, and I'm sorry that he couldn't be with us this evening.
Yeah, he flew back to the UK today, and next time he will. And I have to say, like, Kevin, thank you so much for letting us be on your show, and I hope that this is presaging of many, many more things to come as we go through with the show. And because people that don't know TV Land, we're hoping the show will be an hour long, which we know means 44 minutes with commercials.
Yeah.
And but on a show like yours, you can actually explore it in more detail, and it would be great to keep this connection going as we move forward.
All right. If you two guys will stay on the line with me for just a moment, I have to bring this flight of the KSS Starship in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed getting to see on the inside of this new TV show. I know there were things that you wish we could have told you about, and we wish we could too, but we can't. We have to wait till it goes to air, and you'll get to see it. But I think it will blow your socks off. I really do. And I appreciate Michael Lamport for being with us, and Robbie Thomas for being with us. And we look forward to many great things to come. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.